Hello, hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, good night. I guess it depends where you're watching from, what time you're watching this, what platform you're watching this. But welcome to the Event Hustler Show. My name is Liz King Caruso, and I am really excited to be here for a great conversation with Zach Schiffman from Studio Z. Zach and I have just spent the last, I don't know, 10 to 15 minutes chatting. I always feel like we come live and it's just a continuation of this conversation. But for those of you who might be joining us for the first time, maybe you're watching us on Facebook or LinkedIn or YouTube, welcome. Please be part of the conversation. Put your questions and comments in wherever you're watching. We do see them all and we'll try to work them into the show. So thank you for joining. This is really just kind of an informal opportunity to talk to amazing rock stars in our industry, learn from them, learn about what they're doing, and as we were saying a few minutes ago, just see where the rabbit holes take us,
Totally.
start the conversation. So, Zach, thank you so much for joining
Thank
today.
you. Thanks for having me.
We have not had the opportunity to meet, and we were just
No.
saying it's crazy that we are both in the events industry in New York, which is a vast industry, but it's actually quite small. I feel like everyone kind of knows each other.
Yeah, totally.
So I was super excited that we got connected, and I would love to. It's funny, like some people want to set up a phone call to learn more about someone. I'm like, come on the podcast, like talk some more. So why don't you just tell everyone, including me, a little bit more about you and your background, which you have been up
Yeah.
to in the past few years?
Sure. So my name is Zach Schiffman. I own Studio Z Photo Booths, based out of the New York City metro area, but we activate nationwide and worldwide virtually now. Been in business about 9 years. I also work full-time pre-COVID in the television industry on the network level. And I was always a photographer at heart. And when I got out of college, I saw a photo booth at a family's wedding. And I said, wow, I think that's something I could do. And at the time, I was working a job, not making the greatest money. And I just wanted some income to set aside to be able to go out with friends on the weekend and sort of explore my creative side. I have a dual major in TV production and entertainment marketing. And I kind of always wanted a backup in case I decided TV wasn't for me anymore. And it kind of just took off. It started small. And then I moved to the New York City area from Bristol, Connecticut, where I was living. And the change in my job and my hours and being in the mecca of the event world of the United States, it really just opened up doors and it just sort of spiraled in a good way from there. Every year we've grown, every year we've taken on new challenges. We are fully focused on photo and video activations. We're not like a jack of all trades company. We don't DJ. We don't do furniture rentals or any of that. We do photo and video activations and we do them well. And that's my core competency. That's my goal. I want to give an awesome output to your clients, to your guests, to make them want to share your brand image, make them want to come back for more, make them want to talk about what happened after the event is over.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Now then, 2020 hit, the wonderful COVID-19, and how did that impact your photo and video business, which, I imagine pre-COVID was 100% in person?
It was 100% in person. 2020 was shaping up to be like my favorite year. And I don't even mean monetarily, I mean creatively. I had some clients and agencies. We were signing contracts for Coachella, the Masters, the Kids' Choice Awards. We had these awesome creative events. We were doing things like the glam bot that you see on the red carpet, ball pits, obstacle courses at the Kids' Choice Awards that were taking photos. And then overnight, all those contracts became null and void. They became credits for the future, full-on cancellations. And it was like, okay, let's just see what happens. Maybe they'll push it back a month or two. And then, it just started opening more and more and more cancellations, another cancellation. All of a sudden, I've lost everything. And at the same time, I also lost my TV work too. And I was just at home. So I started thinking, what are we going to do now? And that's when we started building out our virtual photo, hi Nick, our virtual photo booth solution. And it's ever growing. It started as here's a basic website. You can take a photo, you can brand it, you can email it. And 11 months later, now it's hey, let me custom code a unique experience based off of a PDF that a client sends me. And they say, this is what we want our UI to look like. Sure, let's create it. And now we're creating year-long activations, really in-depth imagery, GIFs I never thought you would be able to create on a virtual platform and not in a physical space with a camera and a high processing computer. And we're constantly pushing the envelope, and I'm really excited to see where this takes off to, where it continues to grow.
I just had a conversation earlier today with someone, and we were just talking about, you know, this is, you know, talk about survival of the fittest, you know, 2020 and truthfully, even all of 2021, I think, is all about innovation. It's the companies that can think on their feet, try something new, and they push the boundaries, and that's what ends up getting them to be super successful. And then when we kind of come out of all of this, we get to go from, you know, everything we were doing in person and add all this virtual stuff and possibly double our revenue opportunities, if not, you know, somewhere close to that, I would say. But tell me about the technical side. I mean, obviously you have this video and TV production background, but making that shift from in-person to now doing everything online, did you already have kind of a technical skill set? Did you bring people on the team? How did that work?
It's really, not to use the word hybrid, but it's a hybrid of, I have some basic coding HTML skills. I'm a very tech nerd at heart. I can sit and learn and read Google and figure things out, which is like the main focus of it. And then there is software that we've acquired and used that has a backbone to it. And then it's bringing on coders or paying those software companies to do custom coding for us to make ourselves stand out. Because, I mean, we got into this, we were probably one of maybe four companies doing it at the get-go, and now there's hundreds, and, you know, 95% of them look exactly the same. We try to make ours look different. We try to give our offerings a little bit differently, and we try to really put the client first when we do it. I'm not one, I don't try to, like, take credit. Everything I do is white-labeled, so if your client comes to me and says, you know, we want this, you're not going to see Studio Z anywhere. All you're going to see is Ford or Carfax or whoever's hiring you. And I will hire the coders that need it to happen. If I can't figure it out myself, I will get it done for the client.
Yeah,
for sure.
So since we may not have seen Studio Z around on the, you know, the brand name, can you tell us about like one or two of the most exciting projects you've worked on? It doesn't have to be just last year, but just in your career.
Super Bowl is always a big thing for us. We did a few years with Sirius XM on Radio Row. Not doing anything crazy out of the ordinary, boomerangs, or we did a camera array where we had seven cameras set up and made 3D animations. But they were all for athletes and celebrities. So to like see them take it, see it get spread so fast on Instagram organically is always crazy. That's probably one of my favorites. And now we're shifting with the virtual. I'm about to launch a year-long campaign with Ford internally worldwide where they are bringing all their employees back together and they're doing what's called plan portraits where you enter your name, your email, and they have this internal plan or like core competencies of the company and their goals for the year. And basically it's for all the employees to specify what they're going to bring to the plan, how they're going to execute it. So they type their answer, they take a photo, it gets branded on a branded template, it gets sent to them and it goes into a worldwide gallery for Ford that's sortable by division, by country. It's a really exciting, when we talk custom coding, this is what we're doing with them. And we're launching next week and every day it's, hey, can we tweak this? Hey, what if we have this idea? And we're just going at it and seeing where it comes, where it's going to end up.
Yeah. So how excited are you for the future of coming back to in person and then what that means for all this virtual stuff that you've been doing?
You know, I'm excited to get back to in person, but I'm not going to miss sitting on my couch building events. you know, the late nights in New York, I did not miss the holiday party rush of New York City, the traffic, the snow, the 3 a.m. loadouts on a Tuesday night. Those I did not miss. But the whole hybrid world is going to be the future. It's going to be interesting. We were talking Clubhouse before we came live, and I heard, I think one of the best analogies I'd heard while listening to a room the other day where they said hybrid events have existed for decades and just not in the event industry as we perceive it. You take a look at something like any sporting event, specifically the Super Bowl. That's an in-person event for the fans that are there, but it's also a virtual event for everyone that watches it from home or interacts with the various Verizon camera apps you can use now, or the way they take in commercials and product placement. That is just one big hybrid event.
Yeah.
And now I think the event world really knows how to do it. And I think our client base now understands that more too. And I think it's going to be a very interesting. Will we see a hybrid Coachella in the future? In the lines of the Super Bowl, you look at the college football playoffs and the mega casts they do. There's 1,800 ways to experience this event from your house. So I constantly think that we're just going to see this evolve more. I mean, we're on StreamYard now. I don't know when StreamYard, if it was a 2020 byproduct or not, but so many of these programs didn't exist a year ago. And now everyone's figuring out, well, here's a new way that I can broadcast virtually, hybrid, bring in auctions and photo opportunities and other gamification and ways to interact. It's going to be a really interesting ride.
I completely agree. I was just talking about the same thing with a group of people yesterday. Actually, Julia, who just was saying hi, she's with attendees and we did a panel and then later on, and they were talking about hybrid. And then later in the day, I had another conversation about hybrid. And it's come up many times recently, just this idea that like, it's not, we don't have to call it a hybrid event. It's just an event. And in the future, you know, we will see events that have virtual and in-person components that are just called events. It's like the events industry is so far behind, to your point. Media and all these other industries have been doing hybrid forever. They just don't call it that.
It's going to be interesting, too, to see how clients price these, because I think that some clients have it in their head. Well, if this is virtual, it should cost 20% of what it would cost in person. And that's not necessarily true. I mean, just from the customer service standpoint alone, I spend many hours on email and on phone teaching a client how to activate their webcam in Chrome. Yeah. You know, and it's just a pop-up. But like, there's so many tech issues. And now on your side, like registration and onboarding and just getting, you know, good internet for your speakers. Like, there's a lot more to this than loading into a venue and knocking it out in one day.
And, you know, what you guys do in terms of like the photo and video, I think is really going to be interesting, because when you think of just the Super Bowl as an example, where there's, you know, you're live in person, people are there, they're watching what's happening, they're tailgating, and then they go home. Your in-person audience gets, you know, all the like commentary and, you know, I appreciate the colored lines on the field that show you what you're supposed to be looking at and the highlights and all that kind of stuff. And so we've been talking a lot with hybrid that it's really going to be about enhancing this experience and touching people in a billion different ways and creating a ton of different kinds of content to reach people. And so I think photo and video, I mean, your background in TV is like priming you for, you know, hybrid. Everyone is talking about like, great production is just what they do with TV all the time. It's not that people won't stare at a screen, because we do it for hours and hours and don't think anything about it when it's not a conference or an event. So that skill set that you have has really kind of positioned you pretty well for what's to come, I think.
I hope so. I mean, it's interesting, because now we have to think on this level. If your event is hybrid and the main event is in person, how are you keeping those people that are at home still entertained and feel like they're part of it all? And that's where I hope things that we do and build can sort of cross that bridge, be it an in-person photo booth mixed with a virtual one, or ones where someone at home could take a picture with someone in person. You know, I think that's the type of, you know, future stuff. Adding prizes to things, you know, that you can win virtually or in person. And we do things like large-scale virtual mosaics, where, you know, every photo that gets taken gets popped into a larger image that makes up the client's logo or a scene. And that's so easy for us to merge everyone. So the people that are home, the people that are in person, can all feel unified and a part of the event together. And they seem so like minuscule, minute details. Like, I know there's so much more to an event and I'm focused strictly here on a photo aspect, but like, the takeaway is important to people. People love that unique output. And, you know, anyone can log on to Instagram and take a photo, but we want to try to make it a little more interactive, a little more fun, a little more reason to come back.
And those personal, you know, touches are what makes it an event. You know, content, for example, can easily be recorded and accessed on, you know, like this podcast. We're doing it live. We're then going to put it on the blog. We're going to put it on the podcast. People can watch it in 5,000 different ways. But what you can't replicate are those interactions and the personal pictures. And people love that. I mean, you know, I used to joke, like, if back in the days when it was like hashtags were super cool and new and everyone was tweeting and they'd like post their picture, then they'd go take their picture in front of like a big screen that had their tweet up on the wall. You know, it's like, okay, that's your picture. You don't have to take a picture of yourself in front of it. But people love the pictures and the videos. And when you look back on your wedding or, you know, obviously a personal event or even a great conference, what are you looking back on? You're looking back on the pictures and the videos.
Yeah.
So to me, they're so critical to the overall piece. It's not just the tiny piece like what you're saying.
It's funny that you say hashtags because I've brought this up on other podcasts before when we're just talking experiential marketing to begin with. In the dawn of Instagram, nobody knew what a hashtag was. And then they started and everyone was like, let's hashtag everything. Hashtag Zach. Hashtag Texi Talk. Hashtag Coca-Cola. Like, and everyone was giving basically free promotion for no reason. Yeah. And then you had the birth of the Kardashian influencers, the micro influencers, and branded content. And now everyone wants to be paid for that. Mm-hmm. So, and on a personal level, like when I see something, they say, post it to Instagram with the hashtag Coca-Cola, like, why am I doing that? What am I getting out of it? And that's where I always say, now we need incentive. There has to be an incentive for people to post. So we could have the most unique output you've ever seen. We can brand it however you want.
Yeah.
But if you want to make sure someone's posting that for everyone to see, there needs to be a reason. And even if that's just a chance to win a tickets to a concert, you know, if it's a one in a million chance, it'll get people moving. And I always bring this back to an event we did 4 years ago, maybe. iHeartRadio does a big concert called Jingle Ball. It travels every winter. And they have a huge experiential marketing area that they use in the afternoon leading up to the concert, basically where all people who didn't get tickets to the concert can go free, see some lower name bands, and it's all brand activations. But it's hundreds of photo outputs. And we did one for Brookstone and Ariana Grande promoting Cat Ear headphones that she had. And they wanted to give away tickets and a pair of headphones. But you had to post, you had to tag. And I think we did, in the course of 3 hours, 400 unique images, and I think 370 of them were posted to Instagram.
Nice.
And, which, I mean, the ROI on that was crazy. And we announced the winner, and we heard these two girls scream from across the venue, and they came running. They were so excited to get tickets to this sold-out event. And, I mean, it was all worth it for the client just in that moment.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny thinking just about experiential marketing. I mean, it's always been very popular, especially in recent years. But as we look towards, you know, going back to in-person events, I think it's going to be, you know, my thought is even more popular because, you know, we're talking about people's hesitation to go back to in-person and the idea that, you know, they might go back to personal and leisure stuff before they're going to go back to business. And I think it's going to be a huge challenge for corporations to think about how can we provide like some personal value in what we're doing so that they will come and they'll, you know, it's not necessarily just about exposing yourself to COVID, but at this point you're just changing, behaviors have changed, habits have changed. Yeah. And so now you're kind of like getting people to come back out as excited as people are to be with their friends again. I don't know that they're so excited to be at like a corporate event.
Right. Totally. and you can take experiential and go beyond the event side. You can just go straight to like retail, for instance.
Sure.
You know, who's going to the mall anymore? And it's less and less. Sales have moved online, but these brick and mortars still exist and they want to get their customers back. So we look into solutions like how can we help facilitate that? And if you take a brand like Sephora, they could come to us and say, we want a virtual offering that brings people back into the store. Okay. They can promote a virtual photo booth. You take a snap and you're given a code. And that code can only be used in person in the store. They go to the store, and in the store is a plexiglass safe with a touchscreen on it. Inside, they see a prize, be it makeup, a gift card, money, it could be anything. And they have to enter that 4-digit code to see if they won.
Yeah.
And now we've physically made a customer go to the store, and they're, I don't know the percentage, but very more likely to buy a product once they're in the store. I mean, you could do that with a QR code just sitting in the middle of the mall. Say, hey, scan me for a chance to win, and push people to the store. Those are the types of things I'm looking to help outside of the traditional event world and into more of the marketing side, because I think the opportunities are endless here.
I completely agree. So, you know, the Event Hustlers originally especially started for our independent business owners. So people like you and me who are in the events industry, do you see yourself going back to kind of a full-time job in television? Or are you like so excited about what you're working on right now? And there's no right or wrong answer.
Yeah, no. I'm curious. I love my job in TV. My job in TV has a weird correlation to my business as well. There's a surprising amount of crossover where, like, I'll work with Chrissy Teigen in the morning on a TV show, and then at night I'll see her at a jewelry launch. And like, those things are just like, they're funny and they're weird. Will there be a time I step back from TV? Possibly. I enjoy it right now. My hours when I work are early morning, so I have my whole day for my business. I'm freelance, so I adjust my schedule as needed to focus. Like, if I need to go to China for an event, I'll go to China for an event. Like, it's not a big deal. But most importantly to me is the health insurance aspect of my unionized job. So, and there's a pension. So I will stay with that for the time being. But I mean, all doors are open. I mean, I want to continue both. I'm a hustler, as you say. You know, I'm a workaholic. I love doing both. I can't see my life without one or the other.
Yeah. I mean, you make it work, right? Everyone has their concoction. They like put things together in the same, whatever way. It looks different for every person.
Yeah, so. Definitely.
Yeah. So we were talking a little bit earlier about Clubhouse.
Yeah.
And I think it's just an interesting platform. We talked about it on one of our earlier podcast episodes too. Everyone is just kind of diving in, figuring it out. What are your thoughts on it? And do you think, you know, one of the benefits of it right now, as compared to what you were talking about with like the early days of Instagram, is it's not so easy to go in and just like market yourself.
Right.
So what do you think about that? Do you think it's going to change?
On it about a month and a half now, right when it started to like really open up their invite system. So like back then there was still maybe only 200,000 people on it, and it was very like tight knit. And now it's just expanding by the day. It crashes midday when Mark Zuckerberg logs on. It's a fascinating space. I love tuning into, like, I don't even watch Shark Tank, but I love listening to the sharks talk business and take live pitches. And they bring all their investor friends. And, like, everyday people are getting a chance to change their lives over this random audio app. And I hope Twitter, I hope Instagram doesn't buy it out or destroy it. Twitter's already launched their competitor. I hope that Clubhouse has their footing enough right now that they're going to hold on to it and that they keep their market share. I'm a little worried, but it is a really cool space. I wonder what it's like outside of the event world, because it's curated to what you do and what you follow. So majority of what I see is photography, weddings, and events and business. But like, I don't know if there's people who are like track and field runners having the most amazing time on there too. There could be, I just don't see it.
There are.
And I'm sure there are.
Yeah.
And we were talking, I mean, people are monetizing this now. Someone was telling me their business is booming because they just participate daily in event industry talks and they're just getting leads nonstop. And then there's someone who's telling me they're getting paid to be a moderator, and they're making more moderating than they are in their six-figure event business.
So crazy.
Which I don't fully understand, but God bless them if they can figure this out. I saw someone else was moderating. They were hiring an intern. And I'm like, cool. I mean, this isn't even on Android yet. It's an iOS-only app. And there's crazy things happening with it.
Yeah, I think it is so interesting. I've been spending a lot of time on there. It's one of those things that kind of sucks you in. I definitely spend more time on there than I said I was going to. But, you know, the audio only is very interesting to me. I think after this craziness of the last year where everyone is video, so video heavy, this idea, because, you know, do you know Anchor?
Sounds familiar.
So it's like a podcasting platform. Well, it is a podcasting platform now, but it was the exact same thing as Clubhouse years ago. You could go in and just have conversations, and it was audio only, and it was very interesting. And I don't think it really had much interest. So they switched to a podcasting platform. And now it's like timing is everything. It's so interesting. I see this comment from Tracy. I want to bring
in. I was just reading that too. That's something I've heard and seen. And now people, it's amazing how they've made their own rules in Clubhouse. People have like come up with their own, like we blink our mute to clap. And now everyone says their name when they start talking. And when they're done talking, they say, I'm done speaking. Almost like saying over on a walkie talkie. And they're trying ways to help the disability community, the hearing impaired, who might be using some sort of telestration or I forget what you call the device that translates audio into text. And then there are people who are saying that's actually against Clubhouse's terms of service. So it'd be interesting to see where that goes and if they do bring in like a closed captioning aspect to it, because there is some unfairness with that, as Tracy brings up.
I also would love just to see a chat anyway, in addition to the audio, because there's so many
pros and cons to that. I kind of like that, like no one can DM you, and if they want to DM you, they have to go like to your Instagram and follow you with like your main focuses, and it's kind of a platform where no one bothers you on the side. I've heard a lot of that. I think there probably will end up being a messaging side for sure.
Or even just like in the room, you know, that you could talk about the topic amongst each other. I agree. I don't like the DMing thing.
I think Twitter's doing reactions already, which I know is something Clubhouse was looking into, where like, you know, the audience could vote on polls or show their support for people talking. I think that's part of it. I think you're probably going to start to see monetization of the speakers and being able, like on a Twitch style, being able to tip and donate. A lot of people putting their Venmo and Cash App in their bio, which makes me laugh. And I'm like, God bless them if people are just like randomly Venmoing them money for the things
they
said.
You just love what I say so much, you're going to send me cash.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
know. God bless.
It's super interesting. And obviously we're here talking about you and all the work that you've done. But like with Clubhouse, it's just, it adds like this interesting piece to it. And I feel like just from the experiential marketing side.
Yeah.
I've seen people doing summits on there, like a 24-hour summit.
I mean, it's a free platform. You can lock a room. I think people are, you can monetize a room sort of if you lock it, and only people who have paid could be admitted, you know, those kind of things. You could, but at the end of the day, it's a free platform for people to speak. So if you were pivoting a conference that got canceled at the last minute because of COVID, it's an easy way to get, you know, short of people that are on Android, it's an easy way to get everyone quickly in one place and being able to talk and still have some sort of format to it without hurting your bank or.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so crazy. Well, I have really loved talking. Let me read Tracy's comment real quick. She's loving all the conversations she's listening to, but you can get sucked in. That is definitely true. But I agree. It's very much like the early days of Twitter, where you get access to people that. Mm-hmm. You would never get access to, and you find all kinds of influencers. If you look at, like, for example, I've been involved in virtual and hybrid for years, kind of learning about it, doing a few events myself, and knowing a lot of the players in the space. When I go into Clubhouse and I look at the people who are leading the conversations, I didn't know any of them.
Yeah.
So it's amazing to see all these people who really are passionate about the topic that you really would not otherwise have known, you know, been able to connect to. It's really cool.
Yeah. Especially in all the event groups that I've been listening to on Clubhouse, there's a lot of people that have been doing this for years virtually that I didn't know like really existed. And maybe this is more your side with your conferences and stuff, where I focus more, I don't focus, but what I end up at is more like one-off events and, you know, product launches, PR things, those kind of. But like, people have been putting together summits and motivational speakers and those kind of events virtually, I guess, for a long time. And it's a seven-figure industry. It's very interesting. And it's also for people in the event industry, you know, the Tony Robbins of the world who travel the country or the world to speak. Now they're able to do this on platforms where they can sit at home and do multiple a day and still get their payday. Like, it's a new world for sure.
That is the best way to leave this conversation. I think it is a new world. You have done an amazing job pivoting to virtual. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. Pleasure. We wish you all the best as you move forward with not just continuing to do virtual, but hybrid as well. I think there are probably a lot of people listening either now or who will listen to the recording who are interested in learning more about you. So where would they best connect you?
They can go right to our website at studioz.photobooths.com. All of our information's there. They can contact, reach out, call, email, browse the site, play with our virtual photo booth demo, see our different offerings.
Awesome. And I did not even notice, but Tracy caught this great little thing. She would like to know more about the award that's sitting behind you that I did not even see.
This is my Emmy award.
That beauty.
So I work on the Today Show. That's my main show. This award was actually for the Winter Olympics, Sochi, which I worked on a new media. So I worked on a thing like Red Zone for the NFL. If you've ever watched that, they had Gold Zone, same host, and it bounced around gold medal finals of each sport during the Olympics. So we worked on that. We got an Emmy for it, a sports Emmy for new media, new ways of introducing tech. So interesting. It was like a virtual. It was actually a virtual show. So have that. I have one for the Today Show too. This one's just my only trophy because they are
pretty
expensive.
Cool.
But
Tracy, thank you for catching that. Definitely worth.
I always forget that it's behind me.
I was like so enthralled by the greenery.
That's if I could turn my camera on my living room, it's like a jungle over there. That's been my quarantine obsession, is just buying houseplants when I have.
Oh yeah, I've been in all the free groups. Who wants to share clippings with me and planting little things all over? So you're not the only one.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for the time.
My pleasure.
Thank you for all of those who are watching live. We will be sharing this recording, of course, on all of our platforms. And we'll be back every Wednesday at 1:30 Eastern with another great talk. Zach, it was so great getting to know you. This is like the best format ever to kind of have a good conversation. So thank you.
Come on anytime. I love talking shop.
Awesome. Have a great day, everyone.
Bye, guys. Thanks.